The world continues climate change talks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the 10th day of the United Nations Summit going on in Copenhagen. Marketplace reporters are there, and our coverage continues this morning as the majority of the world's leaders begin to arrive. We're going to bring in Stephen Beard for the latest from Copenhagen. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So all these leaders are coming into town. I'd imagine security's pretty tight.
It is much more noticeable today. It is very intense. And indeed, as we speak, the police have got quite a job on their hands at the moment. There's outside the summit center a big protest underway. Apparently, tear gas has been fired and there have been reports of some injuries. Lots of angry activists demonstrating because they've not been allowed inside the building today. The organizers rather bungled over this issue of attendance. They gave registration to 45,000 people to attend the summit when the building is only legally allowed to accommodate 15,000, a recipe for trouble.
Mm. So as we approach the final phase of this summit, Stephen, what's the mood over there in Copenhagen?
Pretty pessimistic. It's clear that the negotiators haven't agreed on the major issues, emission cuts and money, and some of the leaders are sounding rather gloomy. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says we may not have a deal. The Danish Environment Minister, who's chairing the summit, says we can fail. Now, a lot of this may be about lowering expectations, and we should say that President Obama still seems optimistic. The White House says, yes, we can get an agreement that makes sense.
All right. Stephen Beard joining us from Copenhagen this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
All right. Be sure to check out Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal later today. We're going to have more coverage from the UN Summit on Climate Change there in Denmark. Now, let's check numbers. European markets are up right now. Shares in London, Frankfurt, and Paris are higher by an average of 1%. Asian markets closed mixed today. The Nikkei up nearly a percent. The Hang Seng went the other way, down nearly 1%. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ gave back 0.5%. The Dow lost 49 points to close at 10,452. It's a day of more economic barometers as the Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting on interest rates. We're going to get the report on consumer prices for November in a couple of hours, and we'll also get an update on how the housing market is doing with a report on November new home construction. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
Perhaps no other sector of the economy has gotten more government help than housing. There are low interest rates and tax credits for buyers, just to name a couple. Still, mortgage industry analyst Tom LaMalfa only expects a moderate 5% increase in housing starts for November.
Not a lot of people are wanting to spend money, particularly on housing at a time when home prices are coming down, despite the very low level of interest rates.
In fact, LaMalfa doesn't expect a full recovery in housing until 2011.
I think that we're in for a lot more pain, and I think the housing market is going to reflect that. My recent conversation with my clients suggests that lending volume is anemic.
Residential developers seem to agree. A survey reported yesterday by the National Association of Home Builders showed the lowest level of developer sentiment since June. That's largely because of concern about unemployment. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Well, a big seller this holiday season is the mini laptop computer. But the top brand for the so-called netbook isn't Hewlett-Packard or Dell. It's Acer from Taiwan. In fact, this past quarter, Acer became the world's second biggest PC seller, just behind HP. It's a high watermark for Taiwan's tech sector, but can it go on? From Taipei, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
At a computer trade show in Taipei, Taiwan's computer makers flaunt their wares. And the leader of the pack is local brand Acer, king of the netbooks. Lawrence Lin is a company marketing executive.
So Acer, the netbook, it's like global.
The netbook plays a big role in Acer's passing Dell to become the world's second best-selling computer maker. Now we've introduced a 3D notebook and a touchscreen model.
Acer's top rival is also from Taiwan. ASUS invented the netbook in 2007. Taiwan has done well. for a small island with the population of Maryland. And much of the credit goes to Acer founder Stan Shi.
Taiwanese brand name is more than 30 years.
Promoting Taiwanese brands around the world has taken 30 years, from the calculator to the computer, and now Acer has the potential to become number one worldwide.
Taiwan's recipe includes the original ingredient of cheap labor. Local firms started in the 80s by assembling PCs for foreign brands. Then, says political scientist Xu Su-Qian, they stirred in lots of engineers trained in the political and tech hub, America.
We were ally of the center of the world. We were spoiled. We were indeed spoiled.
Sprinkle in government-funded industrial parks, and you have the makings of an IT titan. But there is another titan next door. China has already sucked away factory assembly jobs. So Taiwan's challenge is to create service jobs, like designing computers and branding them. The risk is having good ideas stolen by China, where the mean joke is that R&D stands for receive and duplicate. Mark Foreman runs the Taiwan manufacturing firm Marlin & Sons.
That's like, I lend you my key, you open my door for me, you go ahead and make a copy, and then when you give me my key back, it doesn't really make a difference, does it? Because now you can open that door anytime you want.
Play China right, though, and the fastest growing market in the world equals opportunity. Skeptics will say Taiwanese companies skimp on the research and are novices at branding. But most here expect the big brands from this little island to retain their edge. In Taipei, Taiwan, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, the pizza delivery business is down 6% this year. So Domino's Pizza says it'll be shaking things up in an effort to boost sales. It's changing every part of its core pizza recipe. New kind of crust, tangier sauce, even the kind of cheese they use. No more diced cubes. It'll be shredded mozzarella from now on. In a consumer taste survey of pizza places, the firm Brand Key said Domino's came in last, tied with Chuck E. Cheese. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.